Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jerry Rohde. Jerry is a local historian, and Jerry and I are going to talk about foods that were raised historically in Humboldt County by some of the early white settlers. Jerry, what were some of the first things that happened when the white settlers came here?
Well, Jennifer, the whites got here on the coast in 1850, and their first order of business was to supply the miners who were panning gold inland on the Trinity and Klamath and Salmon Rivers. So a big part of their business was getting food to the miners. And of course, at first they had to bring it in by ship, but as soon as possible, they started growing their own crops and ranching with their own animals. And that happened pretty quickly. First, they had to drive off the Indians who were holding prime ranching land. That's the way the whites saw it, and the whites felt they were entitled to it. So pretty soon, there were herds of beef up in the Bald Hills and other places where there used to be herds of elk. And right at first, they were killing the elk, of course, to slaughter and sell to the whites, and then pretty soon they converted to cattle. And then, you know, when you got down here on the coast, as soon as possible, they started developing their own farming because it was tremendously expensive and difficult to bring in food from the outside. And it's pretty amazing when you look at the variety of crops that were being raised and grown here, you know, locally in Humboldt County. Nowadays, we have the farmers market, and you can go to places like the co-op and find a whole lot of locally grown produce. But way back in the old days, there was, in some respects, even a greater variety.
How soon after the white settlers got here were they beginning to produce products that they could then send on to the miners?
Well, I haven't seen really complete records for agricultural products real early on, but we know that by the early 1850s, like within about 3 years, they were already netting and salting fish on the Lower Eel River. They had a couple of places there, and that was before they could actually can the salmon. It was mostly salmon they were catching. But they would catch the fish, put them in barrels, and fill them with salt to preserve them. And that happened at least as early as 1853. As soon as they could get out into good agricultural areas, they started developing dairy herds. One of the big places very early on to produce butter was the Bear River Valley, which is actually kind of remote. You know, it's south of Ferndale over the ridge and on the way to Petrolia. They found a very good growing area there for forage crops for their animals, and seemed like the butter that was produced was very high quality. But then the trick was to get that butter somewhere where people could use it.
That's a long distance, and it's pretty rough waters in those areas.
Yeah, when you think about it, it was even rougher back in the early days before they had the Wildcat Road and things like that. They had to go down to near the mouth of Bear River and then over a little ridge on a more or less a trail, and then they went for 5 miles along the beach, if you can imagine that, until they got to a little place called Centerville, where there's still a public park, but there used to be a little town there. And at Centerville, if they made it along the beach and at high tide, you might get washed out to sea, so that was exciting. But they would load their casks of butter onto a barge or scow and go through the sloughs to the foot of Table Bluff and then take the butter over Table Bluff. And there were two little ports on the north side of Table Bluff, Southport Landing and Hookton. They put them in boats again there, and they take them up to the towns around Humboldt Bay, and they could even ship the butter out to San Francisco.
It seems like butter must have cost a lot of money back then. I mean, it just seems proportionately for all the work that went into bringing it to the Bay region.
Yeah, I think when you have to ship butter very far, of course, it would be, you know, a very valuable commodity, but I think people were willing to pay for it. They had a distinct set of priorities in those days, and you read about the cargoes that the pack mules would take, for example. And my favorite is there was a pack train that went out of Crescent City and over the ridge to the mines on the Klamath River. And I think there were 32 mules. And when they got there, they figured out what the load was. Well, there was one mule that was carrying about 300 pounds of sugar, and there are 31 mules carrying casks of whiskey.
Oh, different set of priorities. Yeah. I get what you're saying now. Okay.
So whiskey came first and then everything else after that. But gradually, you know, they realized they needed a little real food to eat too. And by, the 1880s, they developed, you know, a really full-scale agricultural operation, especially in the Arcata Bottom and in the Lower Eel River, like around Lolita and Ferndale, where they were growing just a wide variety of crops. I have a summary here of some of the things that were shipped. Let me see what year. In 1875, these were items that were grown in the lower Eel River, and then they were taken over Table Bluff to a harbor there, a little shipping port called Southport Landing. In that 1 year preceding 1875, they shipped out 30,204 sacks of potatoes and 2,800 plus sacks of oat, over 200 sacks of wheat, over 400 sacks of barley, and one that kind of surprised me, 203 sacks of peas. And then a lot of meat products, salmon, pork, then they had some apples and other items that came through also. But you can see, you know, several grains were being grown then, and of course potatoes. And potatoes grew really well here. They do now also, but in the 1870s, there was a variety called the Humboldt Red, and it was grown both up in the Arcata area and down on the lower Eel. To hear people talk, you know, it was the greatest thing since white bread and, you know, all of that. Probably are pretty good, but we didn't have a chance to find out because there was a potato blight that came through, and it pretty much destroyed that variety of potatoes, as I understand it. I don't know if they ever succeeded in regrowing it, but that kind of hammered the potato market for a while. And also, they found out that bottomlands where they were growing potatoes were also good crop-growing land for agricultural greens for their dairy animals. And so they gradually converted a lot of those places to dairy lands. There was a little place on the Eel River called Cleveland. It doesn't exist anymore. It was kind of between Ferndale and Lolita, right on the river. And they had a ship that came in the mouth of the Eel River. It was called the Mary Cleveland, and it would dock at a little dock at Cleveland, and it would haul away produce and take it out to sea. One time the Mary Cleveland came in, this was in the 1870s, I think 1873, and it filled up its whole hole with potatoes. And then they waited overnight, and they got ready to sail. The captain didn't show up. And when he finally showed up, he said, well, the mouth of the river isn't clear and I can't get out to sea. And he just waited and waited, and he waited so long that finally the potatoes rotted. So all of the poor potato farmers were really angry because they could have taken them over Table Bluff and gotten to Humboldt Bay, but instead they lost their whole crop. And then if you read the newspapers, there were angry letters saying that the potato growers in Arcata had paid this captain not to take his cargo out.
Intrigue.
Yeah, but the problem was solved in a couple of years because there was a big flood that came down and washed out the dock and everything else at Cleveland. And so that was kind of the end of shipping potatoes from there. But for a while, it was a big thing.
And then you talk about mining the salmon to salt them.
Yeah.
But also a little later on, well, quite a bit later on, there was a cannery.
Yeah. Eventually, fairly early, when they could, when the technology improved, they converted from just salting salmon in barrels. Instead, they canned them. At different times, they had a cannery right near the mouth of the Eel and one up closer to Port Kenyon, which was quite close to Ferndale, just north of the fairgrounds, and a place where ocean-going ships could dock in the 1880s before the river silted in. And the big thing then, there was controversy that really got towns kind of angry at each other. Because in the mid-1880s, you might recall, there was this very strong anti-Chinese sentiment here. And in fact, all of the Chinese who lived on the coast were forced to leave in 1885. Totally illegal, at least by our standards now, but the sheriff and all of the local dignitaries agreed and took part in it. Well, a few years later, this cannery down at Port Kenyon wanted cheap labor to do some of the most menial and disagreeable tasks in processing the salmon, and they couldn't get any whites to do the work. So they brought in 25 or 30 Chinese who were willing to work for very low wages and do this. Well, Ferndale and Port Kenyon thought that was great. You know, we're able to harvest the salmon and get them canned and sold. But all the other towns reacted really strongly, and they had a meeting of loggers in Fortuna who threatened to come over and chase the Chinese out. And there were letters going back and forth between Ferndale and Fortuna in the newspaper. And Ferndale was saying, you keep out of our business and leave our Chinese alone. And Fortuna was saying, no Chinese in Humboldt County, and we're going to make sure of it. Finally, they did once again get the cannery to agree to remove the workers. But it was at that point in time, there was more of a controversy because some of the people felt it was in their best interest.
We've been talking about the history of food that's been raised in Humboldt County by the white settlers with Jerry Rohde, historian. Thank you so much, Jerry.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.